And I'm like, whoa, that's a different deal.
House Committee on Energy and Environment will come to order. Colleagues, appreciate your patience with the changes in the time and the changes in the agenda here. It's a fast-moving session, and thanks to all of you out there for your rolling with it as well. I want to announce at the beginning that we are going to, we're going to carry over House Bill 4041 until Thursday. We have an amendment that's being prepared for that bill, and I think it is better to discuss it all at one time on Thursday. And with that, I will open a organizational meeting. So, colleagues, you have the rules here, and first of all, I guess I should say, since this is the first official meeting of the session, welcome to the session, and we are pleased and honored to have Rick Berkobian as our committee administrator for the session. Rick has been in close communication with our interim committee staff and is more than up to speed, and so we get the savviest in the building and the best of the best here to make sure we stay in line and don't go off the rails. But Rick can go over those committee rules with you if you like. Are there any questions on committee rules?
Pretty much the same as every other committee.
To paragraph 30.
Yeah, I would just point out the only significant difference between these and the 2013 rules would be number 15. In the short session, when there is a minority report, there is a different time frame. You have until 5 o'clock the next day to submit that. So be aware that that's the difference between this and 2013.
If I may have clarification on this, because I've been voting no on all these rules, if there was a session or a hearing the day before, you'd have to have the amendments prepared before the work session, or do you still have the 24 hours? So this has been, I've got mixed answers on this. You're reading it the way I read it, and I've been told differently.
Chair members, if you read number 16, A and B, the amendments must be distributed to the committee for possible consideration. If a work session occurs 24 hours of the first public hearing, some section A doesn't apply, but the issue has to be discussed at the dais. You don't have to actually, have the physical amendment there, but it has to be at least discussed.
Okay. So, because I was under the assumption that the physical amendment had to be here if it was, like, if we discussed it previous work session, we come in here for previous session, then we're here 48 hours later, so we're here Thursday, we would have to have them prepared at that time.
It'd have to be, if we're outside the 24-hour gap when you do want to present a minority report, you'd have to have the amendment, to my understanding, physically distributed at the dais.
So, the other thing, we're post and go as well.
Chair and members, and this isn't a committee rule, but a chamber rule, the first public hearing is 48 versus 72 hours. The subsequent public hearings are 24-hour notice, and everything, informational hearings, work sessions are all post and go, which means just that. You can post
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Further questions on the rules? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Do we have one written out?
I'm sorry, not in the approach.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we would adopt the rules as submitted here today in this committee.
Vice Chair Johnson moves the adoption of the rules as submitted. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I will be in no vote on the rules. I don't think it gives time for public input with post and go. These short sessions, I think, kind of diminish what we're supposed to be doing in the policymaking arena, and then also with minority reports and stuff, I would like to see those cleaned up as well. So I will be in no on the rules.
Thank you for your comments. Clerk will please call the roll.
Representative
Benz?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Smith
Warren?
Aye.
Representative
Vega
Peterson?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
No.
Representative
Whitsett?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Chair Bailey?
Aye. Motion carries. Rules are adopted. And the voice of the roll call there is our new committee assistant, Ryan Southworth. We'd like to welcome you to the committee and thank you for joining us for your service and work. Before we move on, a few additional opening comments. We do have one new member of this committee, Representative Leininger. Would you care to introduce yourself briefly?
Well, I'm delighted to be here. I'm Ann Leininger. I am General Counsel and Vice President at Oregon Ironworks, from which I'm on leave now, former Clackamas County Commissioner, and before that trained as a lawyer and have worked at the Byron Memorial Trust on a range of foundation matters. So I'm really excited to be here. This is important work. Thanks for letting me join you.
Thank you, Representative. We are glad to have you and your expertise on this committee, so thanks for joining us. Colleagues, before we move to our bill, I will note for you that if you take a look on OLIS, and for those out in the audience, there are not an enormous number of bills that have been referred to this committee, which is good because we have quite a short session. There are also a relatively small number of bills in the Senate that may work their way over to this committee. So I would encourage this committee, as we have time throughout this month, to think about possible informational hearings or other topics that you would like covered. If there are particular topics you would like to explore or topics on which you would like more information, feel free to let me, the vice chairs, or the committee administrator know, and we will do our best to fit that in. So put that out there for general mulling. Okay, and with that, we'll close the organizational meeting and open a public hearing on House Bill 4042. Rich, would you give us a short description, please?
Yes, Chair. House Bill 4042 adds renewable marine energy to the types of energy for which availability of net metering is required. You do have the Dash 1 amendments in front of you. Basically, the amendment stipulates that territorial sea be defined as it is currently statute. It also establishes that renewable marine energy can be located on the outer continental shelf, and that if it's located on the territorial sea or the outer continental shelf, directly interconnected to the customer's generators premises. We do have a fiscal and revenue impact statement back on the Dash 1s. It is a no revenue or no fiscal impact.
Thank you. I'd like to call up Rick Williams, Rhett Lawrence, and Elizabeth Howe, please. Colleagues, you'll recall that we heard informational testimony on this concept in our January interim legislative days. This is a continuation of that concept. Mr. Williams, would you begin, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Rick Williams. I live in Oregon City, Oregon. I'm a retired Navy captain and currently under contract with the Oregon Military Department, providing program management support for the Ocean Renewable Energy Program. I regret to report that Lieutenant Colonel Safe is ill. You received his prepared remarks during the work session. I have them here if they're needed, but they were concise, and with your permission, I'll dispense with reading those into the record again.
Please.
Okay. I've been involved with the Camp Rylea project since its inception, and it's a very good, thoughtful project. One of the barriers to entry of a new technology like this and at a practical location like Camp Rylea is the bill as envisioned, or the legislation as envisioned, just didn't include wave energy or ocean renewable energy in the list of net metering. So the proposed bill adds the ocean energy as an accepted form of energy generation for net metering. This is important to the Oregon Military Department to be able to bring ocean renewable energy online as cheaply as possible, and net metering is a practical way to do that. It also keeps faith with the fishermen who we met with right from the start, who asked us to start small and make sure the stuff works. And if you can do net metering, that saves a lot of expense and complication in contrast to a distribution generation license or a transmission generation license. The bill does not change any other substantive aspect of the law except for addressing that ocean energy cannot occur on the customer-generated property because the ocean is public property. It does state, and we work through this with the the utilities that the project must be directly interconnected on the property. We have vetted the area with several utility-related organizations and see no opposition. Pacific Core was in the room at the work session.
Right here, actually.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this just in. They were neutral on the bill. Finally, we support the amendment to the bill. It replaces waters of the state with terms that we're more familiar with, the territorial sea and the outer continental shelf. It defines the territorial sea by reference to the existing state statute, and it requires the electricity be directly interconnected to the customer generator's property. Shifting my hat to the program manager, ocean engineer type, ocean energy represents a tremendous source of clean, reliable electricity. Oregon is the leader in the nation to develop this new source of carbon-free electricity. The Oregon Wave Energy Trust and Oregon State University are working with others to ensure the least possible impact. In fact, as I said, when we first met with the fishermen and the crabbers at Camp Rylea, they asked us to start small, make sure it worked before expanding and making it more complicated, and then finding out it doesn't work. Net metering is a well-established mechanism to facilitate interconnection of small projects. The current law already permits a variety of sources, including wind and solar, and this bill would add wave energy and marine renewable energy to the list. It is an efficient way to do it with regard to working with utilities, and I support the bill and can answer any questions from the committee.
Thank you. Why don't we go ahead and take testimony from all the above, and then we'll open up to questions. Mr. Lawrence, please.
Thank you, Chair Bailey. Members of the committee, my name is Rhett Lawrence. I'm the Conservation Director for the Oregon Chapter of the Sierra Club. I've submitted written testimony to you, so I won't walk through that. Just wanted to be here in support of House Bill 4042. Sierra Club obviously works on a variety of renewable energy issues, and while there are some unknowns with regard to wave energy, we do feel like steps are being taken, research is being done to make sure that wave energy is implemented in Oregon will have a minimal impact. Sierra Club would like to weigh in favor of this bill. We believe net metering is a good approach to dealing with these issues, and I think it's just makes sense to add wave energy to the net metering system as well. So we support the bill and hope you will too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Howe.
Chair Bailey, members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Howe. I represent Pacific Power. Pacific Power has 550,000 customers in Oregon, largely in rural parts of the state, including Camp Rylea. Just wanted to go on the record that we are neutral on the bill with the Dash 1 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Seeing none, thank you very much. Appreciate your work on this. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to testify on House Bill 4042? Seeing none, close the public hearing on House Bill 4042. Open work session on House Bill 4042. I would like to comment that Representative Boone has done yeoman's work on this, and we appreciate you bringing this concept before the committee. Is there anything you'd like to comment on, Representative?
Well, I'd just like to say that, you know, this is another step on the long climb up Everest to what we're doing here, and I'm really happy to hear that all the parties are seeming to be working together and collaborating on this. This is in addition to getting power to, you know, clean renewable power to our users, we're going to be able to, with the Camp Rylea project, be a little step ahead if we and when we have the Cascadia event. And this has been just, you know, in the forefront of everybody on the coastline, at least, you know, to worry about after what we experienced in the 207 storms and things like that. We had no power for some people 8 days, 9 days. And with the net metering, what we've done is the same thing. This wasn't anticipated when that law was written, so we're just adding to it to update our laws. And I am very thankful for the players in all this. And I do belong to a couple other groups outside this building, and they work on these issues. So I'm able, and I know Jason Bush, in his capacity, knows a lot, and Rick, you know, what's going on outside our purview of it and what's going on around the world. And it is, it's very hopeful for me that we're going to get to see this in the water soon. And I think it's going to be a good thing. And I thank everybody who's been a part of this. And I think that the message of doing it responsibly, and like you said, Captain Williams, starting small and making sure things, you know, I'm anxious to get things going, but I have been taught by the experts to just hold my horses and make sure we do it right. So, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing this in the hearing today.
Mr. Johnson, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 1/28/14.
Vice Chair Johnson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 1/28/14. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, motion carries. Dash 1s are adopted.
Chair Bailey, I move House Bill 4042 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Johnson moves House Bill 4042 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Passes and it's on its way to the floor. Representative Boone, would you be able to carry this one?
I would be honored. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 4042. Seeing no further business before the committee, colleagues, I would simply say on Thursday we have a very packed agenda. Some things from this agenda got rolled over to Thursday, so I'd ask you all to be on time if possible.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. We're getting going. And we will do our best to be wrapped up by 4:45 sharp, but it's going to be a marathon on Thursday. So, thank you for your time. Committee is adjourned.